The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was destroyed by a freighter. Was it an accident or terrorism? Former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel failed at NBC after less than a week. Representative Jim Jordan may file contempt charges against the homewrecker Georgia DA Fani Willis. And California requires judges that work with youth to be indoctrinated by pro-transgender mandatory training. All of this and much more in today's episode of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Folks, you can follow Narrative Wars with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons, on social media. We're on both Getter, True Social, and X. Just search for at Jeffrey K. Lyons. And that's at Jeffrey K. Lyons. And that's Lyons with a Y. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing your thoughts. And now our first piece, the sudden destruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. Was it an accident or was this intentional? Well, turning to our first piece, authorities are piecing together what led to the bridge collapse in Baltimore, Maryland. But so far, we know that Maryland Governor Wes Moore has said a large cargo ship lost power and issued a Mayday call moments before it struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Let's take a listen to this first piece. It's 38 seconds from NBC News and AP. This was March the 27th, 2024. This is cut number one.
Begin with that top story. Melissa just mentioned it. The latest updates now from that Baltimore Bridge collapse.
The Key Bridge came down early yesterday morning after a cargo ship crashed into it. This is what we know so far. Six construction workers missing since the collapse are now presumed dead. Two survived the plunge. Baltimore's busy port is closed now indefinitely because no ships can move in or out of the harbor.
The collapse will impact the entire region and really the world for years to come. The economic effects could be unprecedented. And while the investigation is just beginning, it appears this is all just a tragic accident.
Here's some more details on this story. The span broke apart. It tumbled into the Patapsco River almost instantly. Two people were rescued, but officials say six others are presumed dead. Now, there's some important information here, and it's really odd the way this is being spun by the Alphabet Networks. The official cover story from Democrat Maryland Governor Wes Moore said a large cargo ship lost power and it issued a Mayday call moments before it struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Why did the governor of Maryland just immediately come out before the investigation was even conducted and say that the cause was that the ship lost power and that there is a Mayday call that went out? Well, that's fine. Okay, a Mayday call did go out. You saw lights flickering, but there's not even an investigation that's taken place. Look, folks, when airplanes crash, how long does it take to conduct an investigation? Could take years, but in this case, it's not an airplane. It's an enormous container ship that destroys a bridge that's going to take billions of dollars to repair. The ships in the harbor are trapped. They may be trapped there a number of weeks before they extract all of the debris and search for bodies recovered from the accident. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. And the Democrat mayor just says, oh, it was an accident. Yeah, the power went out. This is extremely unprofessional behavior from the Democrat Maryland governor, Wes Moore. Investigative journalist Laura Logan she's not buying this explanation from Governor Moore. She claims there's evidence of this being a cyber attack. So that's one possibility. But let's talk about a few other things. Of course, anyone who disagrees with the official narrative, anyone that disagrees with that narrative that this was an accident, they're going to be labeled as a conspiracy theorist. But hang on, let's consider a few things here. Watch the video yourself. Make your own determination. You know, there was almost a full moon. There's a lot of light, and you can see exactly what happened. The lights go out on the vessel, and then, oddly, the ship turns straight towards the bridge support column. Now, think about this. How can a ship turn if the power for the entire vessel went off? Answer, only the lights went out, because you still need to have power in order to steer the ship. You know, this is rather clear. Same with an automobile. If you take the key out and kill the power, what happens? The wheels lock up. And with an enormous ship with extremely complex systems, if you kill the power for the entire ship, you're, what they say, dead in the water. You can't steer. You can't go anywhere. But what's so odd is when you watch the video, the lights flicker and the ship, yes, goes dark. However, it immediately turns, and it turns towards the support post underneath the bridge. How did it turn? And why did it turn as soon as the lights flickered? It's very suspicious, and it needs to be investigated. And it's extremely, as I said, unprofessional for Democrat Mayor Governor Wes Moore to just say, oh, it was an accident. And for the Alphabet Networks to say, oh, this was tragic. It was an accident. Yes, it was extremely tragic. But was it an accident? Investigative journalist Laura Logan, she's not buying it. So a couple other things to consider. Even if somebody says that the wheel of the vessel was turned prior to the lights going out, no ship's pilot would intentionally turn into the bridge support. You know, you're on manual when you're in a harbor. You're not on autopilot. You're on manual, and you've got people spotting on the starboard side and on the port side that are communicating with the bridge. So this is just very, very odd, and I'm not buying it. There's more to this story. That's all we're saying. There's more to this story. So why is there so little attention, consider this, and curiosity about the ship's captain? We know very little about the ship's captain. Hasn't been interviewed. We don't know about his background. We don't know much about the ship, except that it's flagged in a foreign country. The captain is responsible for everything that takes place on the ship. Why is the captain not being detained and interviewed along with the officers that were on that ship, the ones that were in charge? Very odd. And finally, why is the Biden administration immediately saying that the federal government must fund the rebuilding of the bridge? But what about private insurance? Isn't that the whole point of having marine insurance? So there's just a number of things that don't seem to make any sense. This president is hell-bent to bankrupt the United States of America, and something is fishy about this collision between this freighter and this bridge in Baltimore. And finally, it's going to be impacting billions of dollars regarding shipping around the country. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail in the closing comments to the show. So As far as the trucking, they've got about a 30-minute detour. The trucks can still move back and forth. But you've got ships that are trapped in the harbor. Now they can't get in. You've got other ships that are trying to get in that can't unload. So it's the shipping industry that is going to be impacted in a major way. And it could be for many years. So our next big story out there is that MSNBC has fired former RNC Romney McDaniel after only a few days at the network. Apparently, there was a mutiny of the talking heads over there. Let's take a listen to this. This is from Inside Edition, March 27, 2024. Cut number two. This is 38 seconds.
NBC is facing intense backlash today for firing former Republican Party boss Ronna McDaniel after a mass mutiny by MSNBC's top hosts. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor, the network's news chairman wrote in a memo to his staff. I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. The hosts, who say McDaniel is an election denier, rejoiced.
When somebody does the right thing, I feel like it should be acknowledged as publicly as we acknowledged our outrage.
Well, what can we say about Rhino Ronna and her attempt to take her anti-Trump narrative to NBC? It seems even NBC couldn't stomach her version of the facts. Well, there's a troubling pattern here. When rhinos, Republicans in name only, leave Congress or the Washington establishment, they often write a tell-all book or they try to pivot and sell their persona to the alphabet networks. In this case, it backfired on Ronna Romney McDaniel. The best she can do now is to negotiate a buyout based on her contract with NBC. The New York Post reported that former President Donald Trump on Tuesday weighed in on NBC News' decision to drop ex-Republican National Committee chairwoman Ronna McDaniel from the network after complaints from on-air talent. Quote, this is Trump commenting on Truth Social. Quote, wow, Ronna McDaniel got fired by fake news NBC. She only lasted 2 days, and this after McDaniel went out of her way to say what they wanted to hear. After her NBC News exit and prior resignation from the RNC, Trump then appeared to suggest that McDaniel may now be in some sort of political purgatory. After her NBC News exit and prior resignation from the RNC, following mounting criticism of her leadership. Well, all I can say is bye-bye, Ronna. It didn't work out at the RNC. You tried to destroy the Republican Party and any chance of Trump becoming president again. You failed there, and then you took your sad story to NBC, and even they didn't want to hear it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are so thankful for all of the support that we've received from you, our listeners. Narrative Wars has been repeatedly shadow banned on the internet. If you're a new listener to this program, please 5-star rate and click the follow button on the app which you are listening to this program on. Narrative Wars is available on all your favorite podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and many more. If you're enjoying this program, please send a link to one or two like-minded friends. By doing so, you're supporting independent voices that are not controlled by the mainstream corporate media. Moving to our next piece, House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan. He's threatened Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis with contempt of Congress. Well, turns out Willis has not provided the information that Jordan requested. And here's a follow-up piece, ABC News, March 14th, links in the show notes. So here's a bit of a timeline. The House Judiciary Committee in February issued a subpoena to Willis for certain documents related to her office's use of federal funds. And that's why Jim Jordan is investigating, because he's a congressman. Now, those federal funds were intended to support an at-risk youth, according to a copy of the subpoena obtained by ABC News. Quote, while you have indicated that additional documents may be forthcoming in response to the committee's subpoena, the committee has yet to receive any additional responsive materials in the 3 weeks since your initial response, Jordan wrote. In addition, Jordan stated, quote, accordingly, the committee expects, that's the congressional committee, the committee expects that you will produce all responsive documents to the subpoena in the categories prioritized by the committee no later than 12 p.m., March 28, 2024. So things could get very spicy in the next few days. So apparently what's going on is back in February of this year, last month, soon to be 2 months ago, because we're about to be in April, Willis was subpoenaed. A number of documents were requested. Then 3 weeks later, Jim Jordan says, you still haven't sent this information. Now he's doubling down with a hard deadline, which is March the 28th, 12 p.m. And Willis is still slow walking this. She's even sent out a letter defiantly saying that, you know, she sent what she needs to send. You have what you've requested. I provided it to you. And essentially, stop bothering me because I've got more important things to do. So it's a battle of wills. And we're going to see what happens. Will she be charged with contempt of Congress? You know, this is why Peter Navarro went to jail just a few days ago, because he didn't show up for the January 6th committee hearings. He didn't provide certain information. And now Willis could be charged with contempt of Congress also. So we're going to track this and see how this continues to develop. And in our final piece, mandatory state training steers judges to question fitness of parents who don't affirm gender-confused kids. I mean, can you get any more confusing than that? Daily Caller, March 26, 2024. Judges who handle child abuse and neglect cases in the state of California, they're now required to take training on LGBT issues that push them to consider whether parents who object to their child's preferred pronouns should have custody. So this is the state trying to destroy the family and doing it under the guise of gender-affirming care. Parents, if you've got young children, get out of California. They're indoctrinating these judges that work with youth in the court systems in California. Look, every professional organization has training. It's constant. That's not a bad thing. But what they've done is they've injected this training, which is going to put the judges in a very precarious situation. Continuing in the article, judges handling juvenile dependency cases are now required under state law to take the training. The state legislature amended the law to require dependency judges, that's judges that work with these youth, to take, quote, cultural competency and sensitivity relating to and best practices for providing adequate care to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender youth. In other words, hey, if these children want to do the he, she pronoun trick, if they decide one day they're not a boy, they're a girl, or one day they're a girl, not a boy, if they want to chemically castrate themselves or go under the knife and mutilate their bodies, parents just need to go along with that, because that's just a wonderful thing. These children are going, and we've talked about this in the past, these children are going to be medical experiments. There's going to be, over their lifetime, probably about $1 million in treatment and medical care. They will be medical basket cases for the rest of their lives. And by the way, they will be sterilized. This is horrific. This is the kind of thing that, well, would make Dr. Mengele proud. Sacramento, California. This is November 1st, 2022. This is a press release from the California Courts newsroom. Links in the show notes. The Sacramento Superior Court recently hosted an educational panel discussion for its judicial officers, court staff, and bailiffs on how to better serve the LGBTQ+ community. That's LGBTQ+ ABC 123 baby you and me community. It was held over Zoom. It was an annual awareness day observed in support of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in coming out of the closet and how to destroy the next generation. Well, no, it didn't say that, but that is what is going to happen. Sadly, they are in the process in the state of California of destroying the next generation. We seem to be living in a strange new world where the lies are now no longer hidden. They're displayed in plain view, and false narratives are spun every day through the lamestream media. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, will have a significant negative impact, according to the publication The Guardian. Quote, the U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has warned of major and protracted impact to supply chains following the closure of the Port of Baltimore for the foreseeable future after 2 days' catastrophic bridge collapse. Though some experts said the impact was likely to be targeted to particular regions and industries. The immediate consequences are perhaps more clear, and we talked about this. Ships trapped in the harbor for many weeks, and of course ships that are trying to get into the harbor stuck and not able to unload. And there's a huge expense, incurred expense, just the holding costs in terms of fuel, time, and the delay in delivery. So this is going to have ripple effects. At the end of the day, they'll just charge more for the goods and services that have been delayed. Now, Baltimore, and most of you probably didn't know this, it's the 9th busiest port in the United States, the busiest for car shipments, handling at least 750,000 vehicles in 2023, according to data from the Maryland Port Administration. Motor vehicles and parts accounted for 42% of the Baltimore port imports. So if you've got a foreign car, it's going to impact parts coming into the United States of America. That really sucks, doesn't it? If you've got a car that's made in the USA, or perhaps a foreign car with a foreign factory in the USA, hopefully you'll be in a better situation. General Motors and Ford have announced they will reroute affected shipments, but Buttigieg said on Tuesday there was no question the impact would be major. And finally, the biggest issue will be the export of coal. In 2023, Baltimore was the second busiest U.S. port for coal exports. And interestingly enough, who's going to get impacted, or what nation will get impacted the most? And it's India. So this is going to have worldwide ramifications in terms of foreign parts for foreign vehicles coming in, American-made cars going out, and coal not being delivered on time to India, which is going to affect their economy. But no, it was just an accident. No investigation has taken place at all. And the governor of Maryland is declaring that, no, it was just an accident. Very suspicious. So, you know, I'm going to withhold judgment until there is a thorough investigation. But at this point, it sure looks like it wasn't just an accident. Listen, folks, at the end of the day, Americans will respond. But we need to wake up. We need to wake up because America is under attack. We need to shift our thinking, and we need to put people in place who are going to defend America and tell Americans the truth. This may be the final days of the United States of America. I hope not. I want to be wrong about that. But as long as I have breath, as long as there remains the Constitution of the United States and the American flag flying in every capital of every state in the United States of America and every territory also, then that gives me hope. And that's a good thing. Until next time, for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. Hey! So tired. Hey!